Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew chapter 8, in your Scofield Bible, page 1006, 1006. Beginning with the 23rd verse, we'll read through verse 27. We'll read these verses responsively. And let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And let's read 27 together. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And let's pray. Father, we trust thee now to course meet with us. This has been a wonderful place of blessing, of demonstrations of your power. Many, many folks are prepared for heaven each and every week through the ministry of this great church. We would suppose that that would please thee greatly. But we suppose, too, that nothing would please thee any more right now than for us to listen to the words that you've given our preacher. Bless, we pray, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll never forget the first voice lesson I gave him. He's come a long ways. Our Heavenly Father, it is well with my soul this morning. The blood of Christ has washed my sins from the books of heaven, and you can't even see them. They've not even been written down since I got saved, because you would not allow the imputation of my sins. So it's well, because I've trusted you as my Savior. Make it well with others today. In Jesus' name, amen. People ask me so often around the country, how do you stay so calm when preachers attack? A preacher has a big ministry like this, and as he travels around the country, folks look at it, folks wait to see him to see if, you know, he's panicked or lost all of his hair. What kind of attitude he has, and folks find me quite normal. They find me about like I always am, and they say, Brother Hiles, how do you stay so calm? I want to talk to you this morning on how to stay calm during the storm. How to stay calm during the storm. I'm not preaching today what I heard somebody do. I'm preaching what I know about today. I'm not experimenting today or preaching about some experiment that I've had. I'm speaking by testimony today. There's a way to be calm during the storm. I've said often, I've got it down to about 2 days now. When I hear some bad news or something that's an attack on me or something, I lay wounded about 2 days. I've got it down. I'm going to do better, too. I'm going to knock it down to 1 day and then on down to less than that. But basically, I've learned to stay calm in the storm. That's what you need me to be. You don't need a panicking preacher up here. You don't need a preacher, you know, like I often said, what if this airplane pilot comes out of the cockpit someday when I'm 28,000 feet in the air? He looks out and says, anybody know where we are? I just feel like there's someone here could fly this plane better than I am. I don't feel worthy to fly this plane. Well, get out of the cockpit. Let that guy can fly it better than you can get up there. But you don't need a preacher here who's panicking. You need one who can stay calm in the storm. I want to talk to you about it for a while. You've got some storms in your life. If you're an adult, you have some storms in your life. And if you don't have them, they're on the way. I hate to tell you, but they're on the way. Jesus and his disciples are in a boat on the sea. Suddenly, a mighty storm arises. The disciples are afraid. Look back in the back of the boat, and there's Jesus sound asleep in the storm. Asleep in the storm. Disciples rush back there, and they're scared to death, and they cry, Lord, save us, lest we perish. And that's a good thing for anybody to cry this morning who's not saved. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, you can go to heaven. If you understand the plan of salvation, that you're a sinner, sinners are lost, headed for hell, and that God in the flesh, named Jesus, came and paid the penalty for your sins. And on the basis of what he's done, not what you do. On the basis of what he's done, not what your priest does. On the basis of what he's done, not what the Pope does. On the basis of what he's done, not what the church does. On the basis of what he's done, not what the baptistry does. On the basis of what he's done, not what the communion table does. On the basis of what he's done, you put your faith in him and cry, Lord, save me, lest I perish. And if he doesn't save you, you're going to perish. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. You say, I don't believe that. Then you'll be an unbeliever going to hell, because all unbelievers are going to hell, the Bible said. And the Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those who forget God. The Bible said, then shall he say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible says, no, those not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. So you ought to say this morning, have as much sense as the disciples did, Lord, save us, lest we perish. Now, how could Jesus be so calm in the storm? This is the sermon right here. How could Jesus be so calm in the storm? Tell you exactly why. He prayed in the calm. The reason Jesus could be so calm during the storm is that he prayed during the calm. The title of my sermon this morning is, You Can Be Calm During the Storm If You Pray During the Calm. Now, into your life, some storms will come. You know, you go along in life and you think storms are for others. I don't know how many people have said this to me. Brother Howes, we've seen this happen to others, but we never thought it would happen to us. In fact, everybody says that when the first storm comes. We've heard of people whose sons went astray, but we never thought it would happen to us. We've heard of young ladies, teenage girls, becoming pregnant out of wedlock, but we never thought it would happen to our daughter. We've heard of the storms, but somehow the storms have never come our way. Well, let me serve notice on you. They're on the way. The storms are on the way. All is calm. You go for a regular checkup. Doctor talks to you after it's over, and he says there's a mass of some kind on your lung. The x-ray shows something, a cloudy something there on the lung. And suddenly, you're thrown into the storm. And by the way, we don't know how many folks in this room right now have that mass on their lung. All is calm. You have a good job. Your debts are paid up. Your tithe is paid up. Your light bill is paid up. Your tithe is paid up. Your rent's paid up. Your tithe is paid up. Did I tell you? Your tithe is paid up. But all is calm. And if your tithe's not paid up, I am in the storm. But all is calm. And it looks like that prosperity is the biography of your life. Then all of a sudden, your company loses the contract. In your box at work, it says that you're terminated. Your employment is terminated. You've seen it happen to others, but it could not happen to you. And suddenly, you're thrown into the storm. You say, "Preacher, I've never known anything like it." You will. You will. You're not going to live a normal lifespan without some storms. You're not going to do it. And all of a sudden, you're thrown into the storm. All is calm. New baby comes. Everything is fine. But one day, something isn't normal about that baby. The baby's eyes don't follow your finger. All of a sudden, you realize something's wrong. And in a moment, it seems, you're cast into the storm. All is calm. It's a Monday, a holiday. You're playing golf with your husband, as one of the ladies in the choir did last Memorial Day. You're playing golf with your husband. When all of a sudden he keels over, all is calm. You're having fun. The family's having a get-together. Everything is calm. When all of a sudden he keels over, he's dead. And the storm comes. All is calm. One day, one morning, you wake up and go to the room of your teenage son and find his bed is empty. You notice the window's open. He's climbed out the window during the night. Why? He's run off from home. And that teenage son never comes back. Or maybe he stays for a while and breaks your heart and finally comes back, but is still rebellious. And you who've never known the storm, you who've lived a lifetime of calm, suddenly are thrust into the storm. And he said again, the storm is going to come. All is calm. You have a happy family. Three or four little children. All of a sudden, as they begin to grow, your daughter comes in one day and says, "Mom and Dad, I want to talk with you." And you sit down as a family, and the daughter says, "Mama, I'm pregnant." That doesn't happen to me. That happens to other families. That doesn't happen to our family. And all of a sudden, the calm erupts into a mighty storm. All is calm. But one day your husband doesn't come home from work. You didn't know you didn't have a happy marriage, or at least you thought your marriage might be at least on the normal side. He didn't come home from work. You call. He didn't go to work that day. And suddenly you find your husband has run off with somebody else. And you say, "That's for other people. That's not for me. That's for somebody else." But all of a sudden, the calm erupts into a storm. All is calm. Never happened to your family. Nothing, no disease, no wayward child, no financial bankruptcy ever has happened to your family. And you folks that have little children sitting to your side today, don't you be too critical of those of us whose kids are older. It's so easy for those of you that have little children you can control. It's so easy for you to criticize those who are in the storm. You wait till the kids are grown before you say too much about those of us who are in the storm today. And all of a sudden, everything's fine. They're calm. But all of a sudden, your daughter calls from another state or another city, or your son calls and says, "Dad and Mom, I hate to tell you this, but we're getting a divorce." And you say, "This is what happens to other people. This doesn't happen to us. We've never known a storm." And all of a sudden, you're thrust into a storm. You know, if I could tell you, you give me the name of your favorite preacher today, and I promise you, I could tell you, though I won't, I could tell you what storm he's in. David Gibbs. You wouldn't believe the heartbreak and the load that man carries. Dr. Bob Gray in Jacksonville. You would not believe the load, the storm that man stays in all the time. Dr. Tom Malone, my favorite preacher. You wouldn't understand. You say, well, I didn't know that. I know it. They don't tell you about it. I didn't know that. I'm simply saying the storms are for everybody. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the stormy winds blow on the just and the unjust. And let me say it again, they will come. Now, hear me carefully. There are two types of people or two types of responses when the storm comes. There's the one in the storm who is calm. And there's the one in the storm who rushes, help us, panic and frustration, help us. Now, what's the difference between the one who's calm in the storm and the one who panics in the storm? The difference is this. The difference is what they did in the calm. Realize, ladies and gentlemen, in the calm, that you need Jesus as much as you do in the storm. You see, one reason I'm calm in the storms that I'm in is because I prayed as much in the calm as you do in the storm. I haven't accelerated my prayer life in the storm. I didn't need to. Because I prayed 20 hours a week, every week of my life, before the storm came. I'm saying, if you want to be calm in the storm, then you pray and hang on to God in the calm. A little girl on a boat, old story, ship at sea. Little girl was on, and tourists were on the boat. All of a sudden the storm came, and the boat began to rock in the storm. And the lightning flashed, and the water was splashing on the deck of the ship. And all the folks were scared to death and crying and panicking. And the little girl, she there by herself, and she runs up as fast as she can toward the front of the ship. She goes up to the captain's quarters where the captain is, and she rushes back where the people are. And she says, folks, everything's all right. I'm not worried. Be calm. And they said, what do you mean, be calm? Our lives may be taken. This ship is rocking and rolling. Why be calm? She said, because I went up to see the captain. The captain's got a smile on his face. During the calm, I got to know the captain. And I've seen him. And there's a smile on his face. Did you know that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is just as valid in the calm as it is in the storm? Did you know pray without ceasing is just as much for the calm as it is the storm? Did you know everything give thanks is just as much for the calm as is the storm? And the reason that, don't misunderstand me, I'm human. And there are times I get a little frustrated and at times I panic a bit. But in general, I stay calm. Why? Tell you exactly why. Because I prayed and cried to God and bombarded the throne of grace in the calm. And the reason you panic in the storm is because you didn't pray in the calm. Jesus is back in the back of the boat, sound asleep. Storm's raging. Same storm on him, all these fellows up here. Now why do they, Lord save us. Well, we're about to perish. Lord, save us. Lest we perish. Because Jesus prayed during the calm. Do you know the worst enemies lurk in the calm? Worst enemies lurk in the calm than do in the storm? You can see the storm and know you're in danger. But you can't see the enemies of the calm. Pride. That's the enemy of the that's the enemy that comes in the calm, and it's a lot more dangerous than the storm. Self-reliance. You folks that pray more when you're unemployed than when you're unemployed than when you're employed, that's why you panic when you're unemployed. Materialism. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you need God as much in the calm as you do in the storm. You need God as much when you're employed as when you're unemployed. You need God as much when you have a happy marriage as you do when you have an unhappy marriage and divorce is pending. I'm saying God needs a group of Christians who realize, rain or shine, storm or calm, we need Him. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. And by the way, the storms are going to come. Boy, sit down up there. Hey, go back and sit down. Go on back up there and sit down. Go on. Back where you were. We don't walk around like that here. The storm's going to come if you don't. Now listen to me.
The reason you fall apart during the storm is because you didn't hang on to God and beg Him for His help during the calm. The reason when you fell apart when your job was terminated because somehow you didn't feel like you needed God when you had a good job. The reason you panic when your baby becomes ill is because you did not beg God to help you when the baby was well. The reason you panic when your husband keels over, and this little lady right here has been a testimony of the faith of God and the grace of God in these days. She's kept on going. You know how she's taken it in the storm? When her husband dropped over on the golf course a few weeks ago, you know how she's taken it during the storm? That's exactly why she walked with God during the calm. That's why. Boy, I wish I could walk to you folks this morning who are in the calm. No stormy nights frighten you. No daughter carries an illegitimate child in her womb. No son calls you and lets you know he's not going to come back ever and live at home again. No husband has left you with two or three little children to rear. I mean, you've got a happy home, as far as you know, a happy marriage. All the children are well. Everything is fine. Let me tell you, the storm's going to come. Let me tell you, you need God as much today as that little lady in the choir does. Cry out to Jesus in the calm. Please don't misunderstand me now when I say this, but I want you to hear me carefully. One reason why you hang around me and see, you just hang around me and see if Brother Hiles doesn't have as much fun right now as he did 3 years ago. Hang around me. Mrs. Hiles, his mother, has been knocking on the door of heaven for several weeks now. And they've been trying to pull her in, but she's a stubborn thing. It's all mother-in-laws are. But she and I are buddies. I went out the other day, and my sister was there. And I was there with her alone a while. Ms. Hiles was there for a while. But anyway, I talked to her. And I said, you know who I am? She always knows me. She doesn't sometimes know her daughter, but she knows the important one. She says, yes. I say, who am I? Always. I don't care how sick she is. You're Jack Hiles. She always says that. I said, do you know where I work? She said, no. I said, I work at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I said, do you know what I am there? She said, an idiot. I mean, she didn't even know her own daughter that day, but she knew I was an idiot. I mean, I have fun wherever I go, except when folks call me idiots. She was coming and going. I mean, she'd be with her a while, but I kept talking to her. And I said, you used to live with us. Do you remember that? She said, yes. I said, you remember why you had to leave? She said, because I didn't like you. And then she'd grin when she said that. She'd grin, of course, because I'm wonderful to live with. But she said, I didn't like you. And I said, well, I've got to go. And I said, you're going to miss my pretty face. I said, don't you think I have a pretty face? The little impish grin came across her face, and she said, pretty ugly. Now, I'm trying to tell you something. I don't know what I'm trying to tell you, but that's a good illustration. But I'm trying to tell you something. I love life. I'm not going to let a few cranks and gripes and dirty liars ruin my life. I'm not going to do it. No. You know why? I'm calm in the storm, happy in the... Tell you exactly why. Back yonder, before there ever was a storm, in the calm, I knew I needed God. I begged for God's help. I cried for God's power. I prayed with God to give me strength. Why? I need God in the calm as much as I need Him in the storm. I prayed as much when Becky was well as I do now that she's ill. I prayed as much when Dave was preaching as I do now that he's not preaching. I prayed as much when there was no battle as I do now that there is a battle. I didn't accelerate my crying for help when the storms came because I needed God in the calm. It's God that gives me strength in the calm. It's God that gives me, supplies my need in the calm. It's God that gives me victory in the calm. It's God that gives me power in the calm. I'd like to say this morning to those of you in the storm that Jesus is there and His face is smiling. You don't have to be rattled. You don't have to panic in the storm. But I want to say to those of you that are on your way toward the storm and the storm has not come yet, I want to say you need Jesus as much as the fellow in the storm does.
When your marriage is happy, get on your face and look up to God and say, "Oh God, I need your help in my marriage. Oh God, I've seen so many crumble. Oh God, help mine. Oh God, I pray you to help me to be the wife I ought to be. Or I pray you to help me to be the husband I ought to be. Oh God, as I see what's going on in America, almost 50% of the marriages ending in divorce. Oh God, our home is happy. Oh God, I beg you, keep it happy." When you have a good job, finances are better than they've been in a long time, cry out to God. Cry out to God as much as you do when you're unemployed. And say to your God, "The unemployment like it is, maybe in a little recession here, maybe a depression on the way, but oh God, my payments are up to date on my house. I'm not behind on any payment at all. I have money to pay my bills. We have a little bit saved for any day. Oh God, help me. Oh God, let me keep my job. Oh God, give me strength to my job." Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way in this world to prepare yourself for the storm till you find out that God is able in the calm. When you're well and in good health, nothing is wrong with your health as far as you just went to the doctor's office. He gave you a checkup. Found you perfect health. By the way, I know a fellow that did that and died on the way out of the doctor's office. But you're in good health. Everything is fine. Listen, the same God that helps you in the storm can keep you from the storm. And the same God that helps you in the storm, the same God whose help you need in the storm, you need help in the calm. Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. Why? Because He's the Son of God? No, He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself and took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He was in all points tempted and tested like we are, but He's in the back of the boat. Why? Because He's God? No. Why? Because the virgin-born Son of God? No. Because He, as our example, prayed when He was calm. Your children are all good and obedient. Not a one's rebellious. Before the bed is empty, the son is gone. Before the daughter comes and brings the news, she's expecting a child. Beg God. Listen to me. You, in the calm this morning, have not the foggiest idea how much you need God. Fellas, as you drive those trucks down the road, be careful. You've got to kill me on those things. I've always wanted to get up and talk back to a bunch of truck drivers for a while. The other day I did something that every truck driver on the road mad at me. I kept the speed limit. But all of a sudden, there's a losing of control and losing of traction on the highway. And there's the burning of tires and the clashing of steel. And there you lie in that place not knowing whether you're alive or dead. And you cry out to God, "God, help me, lest I perish." You need God as much when that truck is driving smoothly down that highway as you do after the clashing of the steel. You need God in the calm. Ladies and gentlemen, somehow or other, we say to God, "Dear God, we'll call on you when we need you." Well, we need Him all the time. You need His strength for today. You need His power. You need His help, woman, as you rear your family, as you keep the house, as you try to be a good wife.
You need His help, dear sir, as you make a living, as you try to be a good husband, as you try to be a good father. You need His help. I say this morning to those in the storms of life, and the lightning is flashing and the thunder's rolling, and you're twisting and stomping and turning in life. Let me tell you that Jesus is in the back of the boat. Trust Him. Run to Him. Ask Him for help. But if you are in the calm, you need Him just as much as those in the storm. To the unsaved, I say this morning, don't wait till the storm comes to get saved. You may die in the storm before you have time to call on Him. Don't wait till the storm comes. People come to my office and say, "Preacher, I want to get saved. I've been having some chest pains." Well, get saved, chest pains or no chest pains. "Preacher, my marriage is gone. My wife is saved. My marriage is gone. I want to get saved." Get saved when your marriage is going well. Don't wait till the storm comes. Don't wait till the heart attack comes. Don't wait till divorce comes. Don't wait till bankruptcy comes. While the sun is shining and the balmy breezes blow, and while all is calm, walk down this aisle. Realize your need of a Savior. Trust Christ and go to heaven when you die. But if this morning you are in a storm, He'll save you. Another little story, much like the one a while ago. Storm at sea. Little girl sits there and she doesn't worry at all. She smiles and plays while others cry and beg God for help. Somebody says, "How can you be so calm?" "Little girl," she said, "it's easy. My daddy's the captain. So is mine. My daddy's the captain." You see, I live in the storm. If I had none of my own, I live in the storm. If I could tell you, and I shall not, if I could tell you what I've heard this week, just this one week, first place, you wouldn't believe it. You'd think I was lying. You wouldn't believe it. You would not believe the entanglements that people can get themselves into. You need me, and you call me and say, "Preacher, we've got to see you. We've got a problem. We're in a storm. All of a sudden, you come to my office, and then it may be a year before you need to come again, but others are coming all that year. And I'm doing exactly tomorrow with somebody else what I did to you yesterday. I live in the storm. My life." But Ed Lapina, he's been teaching for a year or two one of our adult Sunday school classes. The other day, he met me at the airport to discuss youth conference. His eyes were red, and I could tell he'd been weeping. He looked up at me and he said, "Preacher, I don't know how you take it. I don't know how you take it." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "With just my little Sunday school class, my heart's broken because of what I see happening." He said, "With the thousands of people that you have, I don't know how you take it. I live in the storm. Not only do I live in the storm with others, but I live in a storm myself. How do you take it?" I prayed during the calm. While you're in the calm, pray as much as you think you will when the storm comes. While you're in the calm, beg God for His help as much as you think you will when the storm comes. Make God more than a fire department. Make God more than a police department. Make God more than a fire extinguisher. Make God more than an emergency God. The same God of the storm is the God of the calm. And you need Him as much in the calm as you do in the storm. Those of you this morning who've never trusted Him, calm or storm, you need Him. As soon as we sing in a few moments, you walk down these aisles, there'll be a man at the end of every aisle. And you tell that man that you want to receive Christ as Savior today. It may be that a divorce has caused you to flee to Christ. It may be that a wayward child has caused you to run to Christ. It may be that a narcotics addiction has caused you to run to Christ. It may be that a broken heart or a storm has caused you to run to Christ. But let me tell you what you ought to do. With the peace of God in your soul and the serenity of God on your face, you ought to walk down that aisle and say,
Everything is fine. I have a job. I'm healthy. I'm happy. So I want to trust Jesus. Isn't that what the Bible says? It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Everything's all right. All of a sudden I thought of that day at the college. I called in on Tuesday. Ms. McKinney said, Dr. Evans said, called and said the boys' dormitory's burned. And the boys can't use the dormitory at all because it's burned beyond use. We placed the boys in motels, but preacher said, Ms. McKinney, tell Brother Hiles we've got to have him tomorrow. We've got to have him tomorrow. The students are a bit upset. There's a little bit of a depression on the campus of Hiles Anderson College. By the way, we have more joy out there when we're depressed than most colleges do when they're on top. He said the smell of smoke is all over the campus. Some of you folks were there. You remember, I walked in that Wednesday. Boys' dormitory was gutted. Smell of smoke in all those buildings, because most all of our buildings are connected to each other. I've never seen our student body quite as down as they were that day. And I just walked out, didn't say a word, just began to sing. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. When I finished singing that, I sang again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Remember? In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. When I got through, I sang it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And after I got through, I sang it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And after a while, the student body began to sing a little bit. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. And after 4 or 5 times of that, sing with me, they began to clap their hands. Everything's all right. No, not yet. No, not you. In my Father's house. And they clapped their hands and sang it. After a while, somebody said, well, glory! After a while, we kept on singing. I guess for 10, 15, 20 minutes, we sang that song over. Never said a word, just kept on singing. And somebody said, well, amen! Well, praise God! And revival broke out. What this country needs is more of my singing. No. No, what this country needs is somebody who's prayed enough in the calm to be calm in the storm. Our Heavenly Father.